the Ro Khan Show with Anna DeVlantes. Ro and Anna are on vacation this week. It's me, Brian Noonan, in for them, having a good time. Hopefully you had a wonderful 4th of July. That's Pearl Jam. They're coming to Wrigley Field in August 20th to the 22nd, or 20th and 22nd. They're playing Wrigley Field. Last week we had James Taylor and Jackson Browne at Wrigley Field. We just had Guns N' Roses at Soldier Field. Oh, man, all the stadiums in Chicago are getting music, aren't they? No, not necessarily. You may have noticed that nothing happens at the Cell. And some of you would argue, well, even during the baseball season, not much is happening at the Cell. I would say, nah, not so much this year. Yesterday, a very interesting editorial in the Chicago Tribune titled Econ 101, Wrigley Field Rocks, U.S. Cellular Doesn't. Here's why. Laura Weber is a member of the Tribune editorial board, and she joins me in the studio. There's a lot of money to be made, and we've got a taxpayer-funded stadium that doesn't seem to want to cash in on that. What's going on?
Exactly. Hey, you know,
welcome, first of all, and thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, Brian. When the Cell was built, or, you know, Comiskey Park was built 25 years ago, the new Comiskey.
Right.
It was like $167 million some project to build this. It's taxpayer money supporting this. And, they've got a beautiful stadium over there. Some people argue whether they love it or hate it and all that.
I hated it when it first opened. I think now it's terrific once they took out some of the rows.
It's really enjoyable to go sit and see a game there. It's really family friendly. You can park over there. You can get in and out. You know, you can get in and out on the L. And it's not that inaccessible. But we're watching what's happening at Wrigley, especially with all this development over there and what, you know, the Ricketts are doing. And they've got all these shows coming in. And we're sitting around the editorial board going like, well, what gives over at the Cell? And why don't we have that going on there? So we looked into it. And, it really goes back to this whole setup with the Illinois Sports Facilities Authority that they developed to basically run the new Comiskey. And so what they do is they lease it to the White Sox, who run it. So you've got this kind of like multi-level setup over there that makes it a little complicated.
Right.
And so I guess it kind of screws it up with red tape, frankly.
Okay.
They had concerts, like the old Comiskey had some great concerts. The Beatles played.
My very first concert ever was at the old Comiskey.
Right.
So they used to have things there.
Yeah, they used to have it. And they've even had it, with the new Comiskey too, on and off. But they tell us that it gets kind of complicated to pull it together, that the production acts that come through, the big acts, they get caught up because they've got to work with the White Sox, they got to work with the ISFA, and so it just gets all kind of bogged down.
Yeah.
They say they're going to keep doing it. We're pushing them to have more there because, frankly, we're on the hook, we're all,
right,
as
we're
taxpayers,
paying
we're
for
on
it.
The hook for it, and if they're not using that venue as much as they can, then, it's just money out of our pockets.
Right, and it doesn't make sense. If you look at the location, and people will say, Wrigley has all that great stuff around it. Soldier Field has nothing around it other than a beautiful lake and, the museum campus. But there's no nightlife at a show at Soldier Field. You come out, you've got the green line, the red line, you've got the Dan Ryan, and then you've got parking, which is a premium. And, it doesn't make sense, except, now the White Sox, when you guys questioned them, they said they haven't really turned down any legitimate offers, but I find that hard to believe. Is it the ISFA who's turning it down, or is it people just saying, we don't want to deal with all the hassle?
Right, or is it, is it just a kind of a confluence of like, we don't want to mess with all of that, all of those levels of, I guess, bureaucracy, to put it together? They've also got, their grounds are fantastic.
Roger Bossert is the best.
And so, to their credit, they're pickier about that. And they've got rules built in about not having any entertainment day after, day before, a game. Wrigley doesn't play by quite the same rules. They're a little looser and they're willing to push the limits a little bit more.
Do you think it's because Wrigley's privately owned, whereas we've got the state agency running this deal?
Yeah, and I don't know if the motivation is there. They've got their funds coming in, they're paying for it, but are they motivated to bring that cost down a little bit and to, find other revenue sources? We want them to be,
Want
them to be more aggressive about that.
And you guys at the editorial board have looked into the ridiculously low lease rate that the Sox are paying. And I'm a Sox fan, so I'm not bashing the White Sox, but they're not on the hook for a ton of dough with this lease.
Deal going.
Yeah, they got a real good deal. Yeah. So the impetus for them to try to bring in extra money is like, well, we don't care. Yeah. We're not really paying anything.
Right. So we're saying, you know, but the taxpayer's on the hook for the rest of it.
Right. So who should the taxpayers direct their ire at? Do we look at the White Sox or do we look at the ISFA and say, listen, you got to help us out a little bit. We got enough trouble going on. And if you're a Chicago property owner, you're getting hit again with new property taxes. So what's going on?
I suppose it's ISFA, sure. But, you know, but you got to put pressure on both of them. Right. And you got to encourage the White Sox to play a little more friendly with all these kinds of opportunities. And, you know, all these stadiums around the country are doing this now. So
yeah, I was going to add, mentioned there's everybody's got them, right?
Yeah, you look at the MLB.com site and you go down and you look at their entertainment. And, you know, you're looking at Busch Stadium, Yankee Stadium, you know, Houston, Philadelphia, you know, everywhere, Boston, you know, Fenway, everybody's filling up. They've all got these great tours and you've got these incredible acts like, you know, you've got Paul McCartney and you've got different groups coming through and, you know, like Springsteen. And they're intentionally creating tours that are designed to be at baseball stadiums.
Right.
And so, you know, it's incredible to see something like that at Wrigley, but it would be really cool to see something like that down at Sox Stadium too.
Well, if you look, I mean, Wrigley, I understand people, oh, there's a history there and all that.
Yeah.
And I was just at a show there last Thursday and it is incredible. But if you're sitting pretty much anywhere in the cell, you look out, you're still going to see the skyline in the Disney. You're going to see the lake. It's, you know, you've got some nice views down there.
It's a great view. And like you said before, you've got parking and you've got transportation in and out of there. And, you know, you can't ask for much more than that when you're trying to get in and out. You know, you mentioned Soldier Field. It's cool to see a show there, too. But it's kind of a mess to get out of there.
It's a nightmare.
Right. And so, you know, honestly, I think the cell is positioned in a really great spot, you know, for a lot of suburbanites can come in and it's easy to get in and out of there. So I would love to see more come through there.
The editorial, and I don't know if you were on the editorial board in 1986, somehow I doubt it. You seem much too young for that kind of experience. But the Tribune editorial back there said when the new cell opened that it was going to energize a rundown, stagnant part of Chicago and eventually produce a net tax gain that will help the state treasury as well as the city. And that, unfortunately, has not been the case.
Well, that's the other part of it. You've got Bridgeport surrounding that. And you've got this really great neighborhood around there.
Right.
But, you know, I think there were a lot of hopes that it would, that you know, building a new stadium there would energize that, re-energize it. It could, but you know, you've got some barriers there. Some of the way that the parking and the roads are structured there kind of cuts off the neighborhood a little
bit. Well, you got the tracks that pretty much isolate the ballpark from the neighborhood, which I know some of the neighborhood residents are very happy about.
But
that
so there's a little bit of a different tension there. And you know, you've got Wrigley, you know, kind of Wrigleyville that's built out so much, you know, so much of Wrigleyville is all about that, and people love that and hate that too.
Sure.
So, you know, so I get the I get people in Bridgeport not necessarily wanting all the craziness that comes with something like that.
Right.
But I think, you know, I think there's probably a happy medium that they could strike. And by bringing in more, you know, they can regulate how much they have come in. And just bringing more in, getting some different audiences in there is going to help them probably with game day traffic, too. Mm-hmm. You know, getting more people familiar with the park who might not normally come to a game.
Sure, people who have this stigma, I can't, it's so dangerous to go to the cell. It's not dangerous to go to the cell.
I mean, plus, you know, Bridgeport is turning into this kind of little hipster center as well. And so, you know, go ahead and just keep playing on that. Take advantage of that.
Well, and the Alderman Thompson is trying to do that. He's been working with the Sox to try to reroute exiting traffic, because the way it has been up to now is when you're leaving the parking lot, they want to get you on the Ryan and get you out of there.
Right.
And
right.
he's trying to get them to say, let's let some people head down 35th Street. They're trying to rejuvenate Halsted Street. So let's get some more people
and
in the neighborhood.
There's a lot going on over there.
Yeah.
You know, and like you said, you know, it's not unsafe to be on the south side.
No, it's not unsafe at all.
There's so much great stuff going on there.
Yeah, walk around Bridgeport and see the million-dollar brownstones that they're building. It's not, you know, are there dicey areas south of there? And
sure,
but
there's dicey areas
everywhere.
Too,
right. Exactly. So we're not going to do that. Is there any estimate on how much revenue we're missing out on the taxpayers
are
missing out on?
That's a really good question. I don't know the answer to that. You know, but you just have to assume that it would just take a nice cushion into that.
Now, what are they saying? Because we've got Northern Illinois is playing a football game there in November.
Yeah.
And the Sox reported that, hey, look, we're opening it up.
They're saying they're trying.
But that's way after the season. Right. So Rodgers got enough time to get the grass back down.
Exactly. And they promised they're going to get some music in there next year, but they wouldn't tell us what.
All right. Do you think, from your research on this, is it just, we talked about the bands not wanting to deal with the bureaucracy. Is that it? So if some of that bureaucracy was stripped away, is it your opinion that they would have no problem getting acts to come in there?
I think it's still, it's still a lot of work, and you've got a different kind of concert environment now, I guess. Mm-hmm. These promoters, all these tours are operate on a pretty huge scale. And
right.
So they're operating, they're planning out their tours a year and a half in advance.
Yeah, long way.
And so, there's things that get turned around quickly, but it's a much bigger deal than it was, years ago when they were pulling in something. So I hope they'll do it. It's cool. Like, bring back, Springsteen played down there. I mean, there are all kinds of great shows down there, and it would be great to go see that again.
It would be. And it's, again, and I know I keep harping on this, but I'm looking at the facility going, it's perfect for any sort of anything. It's perfect for baseball, but it's perfect for everything else.
Yeah, you can do a lot there.
And it's my money that's paying for it.
Right.
And it's your money that's paying for
it
and our money that's paying for it. So let's get on the ISFA a little bit. And if you're at a Sox game, just go, hey, Roger, the grass is going to be fine.
That's
we
right.
could have a concert, and then you're going on a big West Coast swing. We could have had a couple shows in here, and by the time you got back, everything is fine.
Absolutely.
What's the editorial board looking at next? I love that you guys are crusading against and for everything.
we are against and for
You are against a lot of things and for some things, but it's never like, we don't care. There's never a neutral moment with the editorial board.
No, there's not. We got enough going on in the state right now. We got enough going on in the country, so we're busy.
Well, Laura, it was nice meeting you. Thank you for coming down, and stay on top of this, because I want a concert a little closer to home.
That's right.
That would be nice for me. And I'm very selfish, and it's all about me, Laura.
That's right.
That's how it goes. Laura Weber, part of the Tribune editorial board. We will talk to you again. Thanks.